Phil Hendry here, and it's time now for our BSP Classic Hour of the Day. This is from April 2003. Right after the start of the Iraq War, Margaret Gray went to Paris to cover the Iraq War. Naturally, she wasn't going to go anywhere near Iraq. I think the closest she ever got was Rome. But there she is in Paris, and it's still quite a hardship as she's having a difficult time having her breakfast and reading some of the dispatches. She's about ready to sit down to some croissants and, you know, and then she has to read a dispatch from the Iraq War. It's quite upsetting. So she shares that with us here on this classic BSP Hour from April of 2003 on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
This is our first opportunity to talk to Margaret Gray since she has been out of the country covering the war in Iraq. Margaret, we join you now, and I hope that you are able to, give us your views about this war in a concise way. And at the same time, I recognize, of course, that you are under some time constraint. What time is it where you are right now? Okay, I don't know if we have... Do we have a connection there?
I'm right here, Phil. I've been out of the country since the middle of March, and most of what I have been seeing is the tragedy of war. There is so much that needs to be said that I would love to say to you and to your listeners.
All right. Margaret, what time is it where you are right now?
Yes, Phil, it's 1 o'clock. It's about 5 minutes after 1 o'clock in the a.m.
All right, go ahead with what you're seeing and what you're feeling in the midst of this war.
Phil, it's very difficult for me to separate my feelings from this war. The devastation of the Iraqi people, the American tanks, the starvation. This is the difficulty, and so I've made the decision, I feel, because I can smell the death from where I am. I can smell the hunger from where I am. I've made the conscious decision to express my opinions throughout my reporting. I don't feel I can stay silent any longer.
All right, so the rule of journalism, of objectivity, is a rule that you're consciously breaking?
Yeah, you know, Phil, if Fox can be biased toward the administration's war of aggression, I can be against it. As long as I am here, near the fighting, I think I have a better view of it, certainly, than your listeners, or the average person who doesn't really know about what the American military is inflicting on the Iraqi people. I don't want to talk about myself too much, and I don't believe in injecting myself into the story, but I believe I am the first reporter of a Western news media outlet to speak the truth about this conflict and to put my life on the line doing it. And I will tell you this. When I kissed my husband and my son goodbye 3 weeks ago, you know, I'm going to try not to tear up here, but you know sometimes you may not see your family again.
All right, where are you now, Margaret?
Yes, Phil, I'm at the Concorde Louvre in the center of Paris, and I'm here for a couple of reasons. This is where the peace talks have taken place. And number two, I know people are going to want to take their cheap shots with me, but I feel that Jacques Chirac has been the only real man to have the steel cast iron guts to speak out against the American war machine. And I think it's interesting that the only thing he cares about is the well-being of the Iraqi people.
All right, so you are not in Iraq?
No, Phil, but from where I am, I can report the story better because there are fax machines, the Internet, but it really doesn't keep the horror of the war away from me. I'll give you an example, Phil. This morning I was having some breakfast at a cafe in the Saint-Germain district, and I was looking at the dispatches that were coming in from the hotel, and the horror of the Iraqi civilians being blown to bits by U.S. bombs sickened me so much that I had ordered a salmon croissant and a Turkish bread latte, and when I read the dispatches, I was sickened. And I couldn't finish the breakfast. I had to pack it to go, and the meal was 250 francs. These are the things the American people don't see that the French are all too aware of. The terror of a child's face. I was looking at a copy of Le Monde at dinner last night, and they very clearly had a picture of a crying child on the cover. That's what Americans don't see. That's what they don't get because they're reveling in their war victory. And I remember just walking back to the hotel, very depressed, and vowing to write the truth. I had even left a half-filled bottle of Perrier Jouet on the table because I was that upset.
All right, we're talking to Margaret Gray. She is in Paris reporting on the war in Iraq. Margaret, my only question would be, can you effectively report from France a war in Iraq?
I'm sorry, Phil, I don't understand your question.
You're in France. There are other journalists who are in Iraq right now. Why aren't you in Iraq?
There really is no difference between being in Iraq and reporting the story in France.
Then why aren't you in Iraq?
You know, Phil, it's a really petty question, and you're getting bogged down in, but the facts are the French give you perspective. They give you the refreshing perspective. They are a dry-eyed people. They don't get too hung up on who is running Iraq. Saddam Hussein ran Iraq, sure, but so what? It's better than the smell of burning flesh and American bombs.
All right, we're talking with Margaret Gray, speaking to us from... She's reporting on the war in Iraq. She is in Paris, France. Our number is 1-800-449-8686.
Please don't hit the fact that I'm in France too hard, because you're going to confuse people.
I got to give our number, 1-800-449...
I understand.
449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Your stand is that the French have a clear-eyed and dry-eyed look of this war, that it's an unjust war, and that you're the only reporter really speaking the truth.
Really, Phil, that's the truth. And the reason why is I'm not on the Fox broadcasting payroll. And Phil, you'll have to excuse me, I'm exhausted. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night because of the live reports that were coming in. I had a concierge banging on the door at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, so it's been very, very, it's been a tough night.
Margaret, you're reporting on the war in Iraq from a hotel in Paris. That's not being in country.
Well, Phil, let me ask you this. How are things in California? You know, you see, I'm here in the middle of the horror of war, and you're in California having a Starbucks.
But what horror are you in the middle of in France?
As I've attempted to report to you for 21 days, at any time of the morning, the concierge knocks on the door 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning with another bulletin. Madame, an update. And I switch on the desk lamp in the sitting room. And I scan the news with fear and apprehension. Another night of interrupted sleep. And if you look at my face right now, it is drawn. It's lined. I had an appointment for a chemical peel 2 days ago. Canceled. Why? Another bomb dropped in Baghdad.
All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. I am in California. You're right. You are in France, but the war is in Iraq. And so the question would be, how can you report on it?
Phil, again, I am closer to this war than anyone you're talking to, and certainly anyone that you know or you yourself. I think it's presumptuous and a bit impertinent to ask me, why aren't I in country? I'm here in France because the French are a people who can adequately console you when you confront the horror of war. And the truth certainly is spoken of here.
What truth is being spoken in French? You mentioned Jacques Chirac as a guy who had cast iron guts and absolutely cares about the Iraqi people. What possible indication do you have that that's true?
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear that. We're having a problem.
I said, what gives you the indication that Jacques Chirac is a guy with cast iron guts?
I was talking to him the other night, and we were having dinner at the Saint Mar, which is a seafood restaurant near the Arc de Triomphe. And the two of us were really just depressed over the horror that we were living through. And I said to him, how do you do it day to day being here? And he said, it takes courage. Thank God I'm French.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll take some phone calls, Ms. Gray?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to John. Hello, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray, broadcasting from Paris.
Ms. Gray, I'm calling from Texas. My question to you is, and my point is, how can you actually say the things that you say you know from a 500-mile perspective or however how many miles you are from Iraq, almost as far as I am from Iraq, and give the insight that you think you have about the war from such a far distance.
Yes. What I'm saying basically is this. I am here in the middle of it. I don't understand your question.
I'm sorry?
I don't understand your question. I'm sorry.
My question is, how can you sit in downtown Paris worried about how much Perrier water or how many croissants you got when there's a war going on in Iraq and you sit there and criticize it from afar? How can you say that you're actually giving a good, substantial report?
I think I'm a little bit closer to Iraq than you are, John. And as a result, the smell of the stench of a baby blown to bits is a lot fresher in my nostrils than it is in yours there in Texas.
That's really hard for me to believe, Ms. Gray, because no matter how far or how close you are, if you're not there, you don't know.
As I said, last night I was awakened at least three times by the concierge with new news bulletins, and it sickened me. I sat up in the living room of my suite and read these dispatches, and I was not able to finish the rest of the Cote de Rhone that they delivered to my room. It was a wonderful wine, and I couldn't finish it.
Well, Ms. Gray, it sounds like to me you're really living the hard life in a suite, in a hotel, when the other reporters are over there reporting the real war, actually what is going on, and telling about the freedom that we've instilled into the Iraqi people.
Well, until you've walked away from a 250-franc breakfast, I don't think you know what it is to be upset so much you can't finish a creamed salmon croissant.
So, if I could, John, what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about, Phil, is that it was a 250-franc breakfast that I was so put off of by the dispatches from the war in Iraq and the American military aggression, I couldn't finish my lunch.
All right.
All right, John, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Tell Margaret we'll be back. Margaret Gray broadcasting or on the phone with us live from Paris, France, where she's reporting on the war in Iraq. And she said that the dispatches that she's getting from the front in Iraq are so sickening and so thoroughly depressing, she's unable to function, I guess, at the level she'd like to function at there and staying at the hotel where she's at. But you see, here's the thing that I question. Is it really suffering not being able to finish creamed salmon croissant? Because I understand the dispatches are frightening. War is a frightening thing. But so far, what she said is she wasn't able to finish a bottle of Perrier Jouet. I don't know if that's suffering or not, and I don't even know if it's really the story of her suffering so much as is it a good place to report the war in Iraq, Paris? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm trying to get back.
All right, I will do that for you. And as to get to let my audience in, I'm talking with Margaret Gray. She is live in Paris reporting on the war in Iraq. I understand you contractually are, we have committed to calling it the Margaret Gray Journal, and I apologize.
Well, that's fine, Phil, but I would like that used before each report.
All right, this is the Margaret Gray Journal. I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm talking to Margaret Gray in... you mentioned that you wear fatigues in Paris. Why?
Because we're reporting on a war, and because the horror of this war and the injustice of the American attack is so palpable here in Paris. Everywhere you go, you talk to people who are so outraged, really, by what the Americans have done. You can feel the danger everywhere, and so we have taken to wearing camouflage fatigues wherever we go. Now, last night, I did a report for Fox News at 12:30 a.m. Paris time, I was forced to go on the air in a cream-colored pantsuit. Now, that doesn't sound like a very big inconvenience to most people, but when you're in television and you're wearing the wrong thing for the kind of camera they're using and the shutter speed they're using, it can be devastating. And it was devastating for me to be here in the middle of this war zone wearing that kind of outfit.
Ma'am, you're talking about wearing a cream-colored pantsuit on your evening feed. That's hardly being in a theater of war.
And again, Phil, I'll repeat what I said. Where are you right now?
I'm in California.
Exactly. And so I really don't think you're in any position.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sherry on The Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret, I don't know how you can talk about the horrors of war because you get woken up all hours of the night. You're worried about what you're wearing for the camera, that you can't eat however much you paid for your breakfast, and you had to cancel a face chemical peel. You've got children that are having so many atrocities against them by their government. I don't understand how you can even get on the air and say the stupid things you're saying.
Sherry, you should come to Paris and talk to the people of France. They can set you straight.
If you were so worried, and if you think that you're going through the horrors of war, then you should be an embedded journalist out there with the troops, and then you'll know what the horrors of war is. Sitting in a hotel room in Paris, being woke up at all hours of the day and night is not the horrors of war. There's no fighting, no bombing going off outside your hotel window, out in your streets. You can safely walk wherever you want to go.
And I'd like to...
Go. Who's talking? Margaret, go ahead.
I'd like to respond. Sherry, the only embedded journalists in Iraq right now are the ones that are having a little extracurricular you-know-what.
Whatever that means.
Exactly. What does that mean, Margaret?
Well, listen, until you put on a pair of combat pumps like me, you should really... No.
Are you in combat, Margaret? Why do you need to wear combat fatigues? Are you an embedded journalist that would need to dress like that? No, you can wear whatever you want to wear. And you're upset about wearing a cream-colored suit because of the lighting of the camera? And that's a horror of war?
I am closer to the combat zone, Sherry, than you will ever be. And the horror that I have seen. The horror...
I want to jump in if I could.
...that I have seen...
Can I jump in?
Be my guest.
Yes.
What horror are you seeing other than dispatches that the concierge is giving you?
You know, Phil, I think it's really entertaining to listen to you and Sherry there in America talking about me, not knowing what I'm being put through.
I think, Margaret, you're the one that's entertaining because all we hear about is you, what you're sacrificing, and you're not sacrificing anything except not being able to eat your meal and have to take it home in a doggy bag. And those children are starving. And we're trying to give them food and water and a better life.
Have you seen the copy of Le Monde with the child on the cover?
I have seen so many children on the covers of magazines, on the covers of newspapers. They're crying.
No, but did you see the children on the cover of Le Monde? No, you did not. That's number one. Did you see the pictures on Parisian TV of the hungry children?
No, no. And I missed you in your cream-colored suit, too, and I'm sorry.
You know, Phil, obviously Sherry is Asian, and she's not really an American. So her comments...
I'm not
an American,
you don't
and
know
what
any.
Are you, Margaret?
You don't know any of that.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You don't know that that's true.
Tell me you're not Asian, Sherry. Go ahead. Try and... Just go ahead and try that. Lay that one on me.
What difference does it make what I am?
Aha!
Sherry, it doesn't matter to me what ancestry you have.
It doesn't matter, and I don't know what she thinks I am, and I don't know what she is, and it doesn't matter. All that matters to me is what she's saying, and it's ridiculous. And it shouldn't matter what anybody is.
There's just a certain sound as if your teeth are too large.
Excuse
All right, you
me?
Know something, lady. All right, look at Sherry, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean her teeth are too large?
There's a certain way with that, you know, that thing And
why do you have to bring that up? What are you? What's Margaret Gray? We don't know. We're talking to Margaret Gray in Paris. She's suffering the hell of war sitting at the Concorde Louvre Hotel in the middle of Paris. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, and the Margaret Gray War Journal is back with Margaret Gray broadcasting from, I'm supposed to say, the Theater of Operations, Margaret, but you are in Paris.
Phil, I really would appreciate that we stop quibbling over this identification of where I am. I am closer to the war in Iraq than you'll ever be, and your listeners. Now, I want to tell you a story about what I'm up against and other journalists are up against here in the European aspect of the Iraqi theater. And that is the gathering of information. I happen to be a married woman, and yet I must do my job, and I've got to get information before anyone else. I have information, Phil, that Baghdad right now, there is looting, and that there is a very strong possibility of civil chaos. In order to get that information, I had to allow the hotel concierge's younger brother a sexual liberty with me that I would never consider in any other situation, and yet I have to get the information.
Ma'am, I don't even want to know what you mean by sexual liberty.
And I'm not about to say.
All right, but I still say that's your decision.
No, that's not just my decision. I must get the news. That's the reporter's duty.
And so you allowed the younger brother of the hotel concierge some sexual liberty with you?
God help me, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Diane, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I need to tell you, this woman is an absolute disgrace to the journalists, the hardworking journalists throughout the world.
I beg your pardon.
I have to tell you, ma'am, I work with hardworking journalists every day, and for what you may or may not have for breakfast, is one irrelevant of the war and your reporting or so-called reporting on the war.
And where are you right now?
And two, to go ahead and tell that you had to have some type of illicit sexual relations or whatever, or however you qualify that, is again a disgrace to the journalists and the American people and whoever is listening to you and taking you seriously.
I would think so.
And I have to tell you,
I would like to
say that journalists are over there doing only something they can't do because they're married and they have to go away. How does she condone this person who calls himself a journalist, condone saying that whatever it takes to get the information, ma'am, you really need to either go back to Macy's, Bloomingdale's, or wherever you get those camouflage pumps.
I'd like
get
to ask
your journalism book out. And ma'am,
like
you just need to, your disservice to this reporting is just incredible.
May I say
it
something,
is incredible. You are a disgrace.
Mr. Hendry, may I say something?
Go ahead.
I wonder what area of journalism this woman works in. Is it digging up banana bread recipes or writing obituaries? I don't know. But I happen to be in the theater of operation.
Well, hold on. You're not in the theater of operation. You're in Paris, France.
And the only thing you're in is the theater of Margaret, and you want everyone to know what you're doing. You're truly a disgrace.
I happen to be closer to the theater of operation, Diane, than you. And I
have 34 of our hardworking men and women from my agency over there fighting for us. And I'm going to tell you something. I work with looting and, death every day, and for you to think that you just getting information and not being able to eat, shame on you, shame on your reporting
tactics. Let me say something,
Diane. Shame on whoever taught you your tactics of journalism.
I hope the day never comes that you as a journalist find yourself in a position where you've got to give an 18-year-old boy a feel-up just to get some information that's vital to your
reading. Shame on you, then, for having to stoop to that. You don't have any integrity left.
I think it's very easy for
shame
a woman
on you, no scruples and no integrity. You're not a journalist, ma'am.
May I ask where you are right now? What part of the country?
Still, I think I've made my point. Thank you for your reporting.
Because if she told me where she was, I bet you I could figure out who she works for.
Well, she's in West Palm Beach.
Yeah. National Enquirer. Thank you.
No,
Enough said. I don't think so, ma'am. Enough said.
No, I work in law enforcement, thank you, and I work with journalists every day. You are truly a shame. Thank you, Phil. I will continue to listen.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Well, so she throws her little hand grenade and she runs out. A, I get the news. B, I did not have sexual relations with this young man. I let him feel me up. Big deal. Frank's back in America. I'm sure he wouldn't mind knowing the things that I'm going through right now, the hell that I'm living through. Every morning getting up and looking at these dispatches and looking at the faces of these children, looking at the faces of the American soldier, and then trying to get through a breakfast that cost me 250 francs and I might as well throw it into the toilet. That's something that I hope you never have to deal with. And if she's belittling the fact that I wore a cream-colored pantsuit, then I dare her to get into one. I dare her to squeeze her fat rear end into one and put herself up on television at midnight on Fox. I wonder what she would look like. I'll bet you one thing, the screen wouldn't be able to catch all of it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Bill. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, yeah. Like I was telling you, Phil, I just started listening to your program just a couple of weeks ago. I started, you know, being on the road out here.
But what, is Roy Rogers going to give us his life story?
And,
okay, just let the man talk.
And like I was telling you, it sounds to me like your program is getting pretty desperate for some kind of news, because this woman is no news reporter. The fact that she says she can smell the flesh of a burning baby from Iraq in her hotel room next to her bubble bath, probably, you know, is total ludicrousy. She is an absolute idiot and should never be on the air.
I'm a professional reporter. And
the only thing special about you, lady, is the fact that you're an idiot.
Well, let me tell you what, Huckleberry Finn. All of the things...
Okay, come on. Let's not start calling people names, all right?
He called me an idiot.
All right, well, let's... The man's making a point here, Margaret. You can't smell a burning baby from a hotel room in Paris.
Phil, the French people know. They know the suffering of the Iraqi people. I can see it on their faces when they go into a nightclub. I can see it on their faces when they stroll the streets.
You don't see nothing.
You don't see nothing but the pictures on a television set. You're nothing but a Baghdad Bob, a female Baghdad Bob.
I am a married woman.
And you're giving comfort to the enemy.
I'm giving comfort to the enemy. I allowed...
That's exactly right.
The kid put his hand up my blouse just so I could get some news.
And I bet you were real comfortable, too.
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Hey, yeah, well, let me tell you something. If you did it once, you probably did it 100 times. So it doesn't make no matter to me. I think you're an idiot. Phil, I'm sorry about calling names. But
that's okay, Bill. I think it's ludicrous for you to say, Ms. Gray, that you are suffering when a concierge wakes you up at 4 in the morning with pictures.
Well, the French people are honest, but I need to be here to get some honesty. If I go to Iraq, everybody will be lying to me.
You go to Iraq?
You don't know the word honesty. You don't know the word honesty.
I go to Iraq, and how will I know what to believe?
You don't go to Iraq. You go to your motel room in France.
It's not a motel. It's
with the bellboy.
It's a Concorde Louvre. You know, you're really something, aren't you?
Look, ma'am, You can't, if you go to Iraq, how will you know what you're seeing? You're going to see burning buildings and you're going to be talking to the troops. What, you can't believe them?
They're American soldiers and they've been trained in propaganda. I must get the truth from the French.
Are you trying to tell me that you're going to get a better view of the war talking to the average Frenchman on the street than talking to a Marine in Iraq?
Unfortunately, yes, Phil. The Marines have it. They've got a hidden agenda. I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is? Maybe it's to kick Saddam Hussein's ass.
Maybe. I don't know.
What do you mean, hidden agenda? There's nothing hidden about firing a freaking cannon into the side of a building.
Yeah, what's that about?
They're in there to find Saddam Hussein.
Really?
All right, Bill. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Phil, for letting me voice my opinion on this woman.
See you later, Burrow Bill.
Ben, go ahead. Ben?
Yes.
Sir, you're on the air on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray in Paris.
In Paris. You hate that, don't you?
Look, Margaret, I've been listening to this for probably about the past hour now. You know, and, you know, I'm recently got out of the military. And I have to be honest, you know, I have all kinds of friends who are over there right now being shot at. And you're going to tell me that you're getting better news from a Frenchman in Paris?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Because who, you think the French- who you're letting get up there and molest you for news?
Yes.
Whereas
if I have to be
we have, you know, Donahue out there in Iraq. I mean, this guy went from talk show host to on the spot in the middle of the war reporter.
If I've got to get felt up for news, I will.
So let me ask you, if I have news for you, are you going to let me fill you up?
Can I have a peach flavor and some champagne, please? I'm sorry?
If I have news, can I fill you up?
You don't have it.
Can I touch you in an impure manner?
I don't need the news that you've got from behind the puppet taco. No, thank you.
Oh, so you'll say no to your average American white boy, but not to a Frenchman.
What, you're that
I'm sorry, but to me, you sound a little bit slutty. You sound like a spoof reporter.
You know what? You sound desperate.
Everything that I've heard you say, I got off of CNN a week ago.
I know. What's the big scoop about there's looting in Baghdad?
What do you mean, what's the big scoop?
I've known that for 2 days.
That's old news already. That was old news yesterday.
Wait a minute, just so I'm clear, I let that kid reach up under my sweater for news that's 2 days old?
Yes! Yes, you did.
That little piece of garbage, when I see him, he's going to get the high heel where it'll hurt and hurt bad and bleed.
No, he's not. He'll say he has more news, and you'll let him fill you up again.
Exactly. He'll just tell
just
you,
admit it.
I got another scoop.
I have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
What an idiot.
Yeah, all right.
Ben,
I'm sorry, but,
that's
you know,
okay.
A real reporter has to have more integrity than that.
Do you know that Baghdad has fallen?
Excuse me?
Do you know that Baghdad has fallen?
I knew that yesterday.
Okay, that's another one. God.
Okay.
What did you let him do for that?
Let me put it this way.
What?
I can't
did you play with him to get that news?
Do you know the statue fell?
I mean, come on, lady.
No, I gotta know, Phil. Do you guys know the statue
fell? You're talking.
Yes, we know the statue fell.
Letting people.
Oh, no.
Do impure things to you to get news that's old. Okay?
I guess
I'm
so.
Sorry.
I thought it was.
I don't.
True.
Yeah.
Who can respect a reporter
right.
who's gonna come on radio and say that?
So you
national
so,
radio.
So what did you let the guy do so he could tell you the statue fell?
Well, I can tell you this much, I'm gonna be bleeding for a while.
God
that's disgusting.
Absolutely
that's disgusting.
Well, how was I supposed to know?
Well, maybe you ought to go to Iraq and get the news and let me sitting there.
I told you I won't be sitting for a while.
All right, standing there in Paris.
Listen, lady, if you go to Iraq, you won't be having those I don't know, dirt standards.
Dirt standards?
Yeah, you're giving off that you have standards that are about as high as the sole on my shoe.
Well, that hurts.
No, really,
that does hurt.
I've met some really slutty girls with higher standards than that.
Where'd you meet them?
Okay.
Because I'd like to get the...
All right, listen, thank you very much, Ben. A very good point you made. And, Margaret, all I can tell you is you're giving out a lot of stuff for old information. You're handing out sexual favors for news like, did you know the statue fell down?
I thought that was a scoop.
No, that isn't a scoop. It's 2 days old.
Do you know what I got to do in about 2 hours for that information? Let me give you a hint. It isn't just one guy. Here's the hint. Football team.
Okay.